The reason that I believe that God exists, and the reason that I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is God in human form, is because of the historical resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The Apostle Paul wrote a fascinating letter tucked away in the back of the New Testament called 1 Corinthians. He wrote it about 51-52 AD. That's 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 3, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to over 500 of the brothers, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James." That's the kid brother of Jesus. "Then he appeared to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me," Paul writes. Jesus Christ was dead. We read in the Gospels that someone took a spear and jammed it into his side, and an issue of watery serum, separate from the red clotted blood, flowed from his side. A medical sign of death. The dude was dead. No question. They take his body off the cross. They put it in a tomb. They roll a stone in front of that tomb, and they set a Roman guard to make sure that nobody would steal the body of Christ. His followers disperse in disillusionment. 3 days after he's put in that tomb, the grave is empty. And almost every New Testament scholar acknowledges there was an empty grave. And then there were eyewitnesses, the Gospels and Paul records in 1 Corinthians 15, people who saw Jesus. And the first eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus were women. Sexism was horrible in the first century. Women were not even allowed to testify in court. But the Gospels have the ring of authenticity as Christ first appears, risen from the dead, to some grief-torn women like Mary Magdalene. Then he appeared to Peter, good old Peter, the Christ denier. And Jesus communicated his grace and his forgiveness to Peter. And then Jesus appeared to the apostles. And we read about it in Luke chapter 24. They're in this room. The doors are barred. The windows are barred. They're scared. They're shaking in their sandals. And all of a sudden, Jesus stands among them, and he walks right up to his disciples. And they begin to think, ay-yay-yay, we're losing touch with reality. It's a ghost! And Jesus says, no. Grab hold of me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bone the way you see I have. Give me something to eat. Let me eat food in front of you. And I love the way Luke puts it. They were doubting and they were rejoicing. They were confused. They were exhilarated. They had a flood of emotions passing through them. I don't blame them. They had seen him dead. Now he's alive. And it doesn't come easy to them. And then Paul writes, he appeared to over 500 people who saw Jesus risen from the dead. And there was one apostle who wasn't there when the other apostles saw him. His name, Thomas. Thomas was a 20th century empiricist. And when the other apostle said, hey, Thomas, we saw Jesus risen from the dead. Thomas said, no way. Not unless I can see him with my own eyes. Not unless I can take my hand and put it in a spear in his side. Not unless I can take my hand and put it in the nail prints in his hands, will I believe. And one night all the disciples were together, including Thomas. And suddenly Jesus stood among them. And he walked right up to Thomas and said, my man right here, take your hands and put them in the nail prints in my hands. Take your hand and thrust it in the spoon in my side. And Thomas stopped doubting and believed. And Thomas hit the floor and said, my Lord and my God. Now what's fascinating, what's amazing is these eyewitnesses were willing to die. To die, not for a belief, not for a faith. They were willing to die, these eyewitnesses, for what they had seen. The dead Christ risen from the dead. James, the brother of Jesus, stoned. James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. Peter, crucified upside down. John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Why? They stood before authorities, and the authorities said, denounce Christ and worship the emperor. And they said, I'm sorry. I have seen Jesus risen from the dead. He is Lord. People will die deceived by a lie, unfortunately. But people will not die to cover up what they know to be a lie. Just look at the Watergate scandal. Three brilliant American lawyers, Dean, Ehrlichman, and Haldeman, were not willing to go through too much suffering in prison to cover up what they knew to be a scandal, the Watergate scandal. They all broke under the pressure. How much more unlikely for a group of first century Jewish peasants, fishermen, to be willing to die to cover up what they claimed to have seen, the dead Christ risen from the dead, if they knew he had not really risen from the dead. No, ladies and gentlemen, the overwhelming evidence is Jesus Christ historically, physically rose from the dead. That is why he is reliable. That is why when he claims to be God come to the rescue, you can trust him. Now, Dr. Newnow, there's an atheist lawyer who you remind me a bit of. Guinness Book of World Records communicates that he was one of the most talented lawyers of all time. His name, Sir Lionel Lacoux. He won 245 murder trials in a row, not one defeat. He had an incredible ability to get in touch with evidence, persuasive evidence, and to present that evidence clearly. Well, he was challenged to take his brilliant legal mind and investigate the resurrection of Christ, and he took several years to investigate. And at the end of that investigation, Sir Lionel Lacoux concluded, quote, "I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof that leaves absolutely no reason for doubt." Sir Lionel Lacoux studied the resurrection, saw that the historical evidence was Jesus rose from the dead, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. The evidence is God exists. What is that evidence? It is most reasonable to conclude that the cause of the universe is uncaused, timeless, immaterial, and very powerful. That's a great beginning definition of God. The evidence is that order and design demand an intelligent mind, an intelligent designer. That's God. The evidence is that there is a moral lawgiver. That's God. The evidence is that you and I have a drive for meaning and purpose in life. The evidence is there's got to be a God, otherwise life is purposeless. And the historical evidence is that Jesus Christ historically rose from the dead. Therefore, he is who he claimed to be. He is God in human form. Ladies and gentlemen, I commend to you for your serious, serious reflection, Jesus Christ. Dr. Newnow, I commend to you, sir, for your serious, serious consideration, the Lord Jesus Christ.